Stand together and look in Romans chapter 5 tonight. Romans chapter 5, a message I call the reign of death and the gift of life. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sin. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. May God bless the reading of His Word tonight. It's my prayer. You may be seated. The reign of death and the gift of life. And since I have framed the discussion of this passage in that way, it should not surprise you that our discussion is going to follow that framework. And I will plunge right into it to begin with the reign of death. The reign of death. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. We know the famous passage, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. What sin deserves, what sin earns, is death. Our passage speaks of the spread of death and how that death spread. We're all familiar with various illnesses and how they spread. A cold, for example, can enter into a household with one person, and before long, everybody in the household has a cold. One person in a household gets a stomach bug, and God help us, before long, everybody in the household has the stomach bug. Even though it's not funny, we can kind of chuckle about those things, but you know, when it's a pandemic like COVID that kills so many millions of people, when it was something deadly like the bubonic plague that for which there was no cure, no help, when it was like the influenza epidemic of 1917 and 1918 with millions of deaths around the world, we know how illness spreads. And so it gets our attention when we see in this passage that Paul speaks of the spread of death and how it spreads. It spreads like a cancer. It spreads like gangrene. It spreads malignantly. It spreads. Nobody could give a better testimony than that, than Adam and Eve. They heard the voice of God when He said that in the day that you eat of the tree, fruit of this tree, thou shalt surely die. It was not like they had to wait for a century or two or three before they would see the spread of death. Because it would strike in their own family, as their own son would kill another son. And over 900 years of Adam's life, who knows how many deaths he would witness. And every single one of them, however many there was, it was a reminder of the word of God, thou shalt surely die, and it was a testimony to the truth of the fact that death indeed spreads. We have seen it over the course of our lifetimes. The Bible tells us it is appointed unto man once to die, and we see this. We see that a lot of people have very short lives. Some people have very long lives. When we see someone who dies very young in life, as we would say it, we think about what a tragedy that is. But you know, I've seen a lot of people who die at an old age, and I see them die tragically. I've seen people who have lived such a long life that when they died, there was almost no one there but me and the funeral director. It's a tragedy. What a tragedy to have outlived your friends, your family. And to be left alive when there's almost no one around you that's close to you. You say, well, that's very rare, Brother Rich. No, it happens more than you think. Short lives or long lives, it can all have a tragic ending, but they, without the intervention of God, death is in all of our future, the reign of death. So if the death spreads because it is infectious, and it obviously is, it is also a very ruthless reign. If it has an infectious reign, and it does, it is also a ruthless reign. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed, he said, when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Now, this is somewhat of a complex passage. We might be inclined to think when the Bible says that sin was not imputed when there was no law. Well, was God, Paul saying that everybody before the law just died and went to heaven automatically because sin was not imputed to them? No, that's not what he's saying. And you see that in the point. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. They all still died. And what did it mean? Well, sin was not imputed. Well, remember, there were all kinds of commandments in the law of Moses. Multitudes of them, hundreds of them, in fact. And they were not held accountable for all of those. They regulated their worship. They regulated their style of dress, the way they dressed, the way they ate. All those things were there, but they were not held responsible. They were when they violated the commands of the law of Moses before the law of Moses was given. God did not hold them guilty of that. It was not put in place here and then applied retroactively back until all the way back into Adam. So that everybody back until then was going to be found guilty of violating a law that had not been given yet. No, that's all that passage tells us. The sin was not imputed where there was no law, but still death reigned. Why? Because God had said it, the wages of sin is death. And it reigned even over those who did not sin according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam. Adam knew what he was doing when he sinned. He knew what God's law was. He knew that God said, don't eat of this tree. He knew what God said the penalty was. And the day that you eat of this, you'll surely die. He knew the effects, and he did it anyway. There were multitudes of people who did not know that they were sinning against God when they sinned, and yet still that sin came, and it still carried that same penalty. So you see, the penalty of death. Death ruled ruthlessly. Ruthlessly. And it ruled over all. You know, a football team that goes undefeated for 3 years, they win 36 games in a row. You know what we call that? We call that a dynasty. A dynasty. Sounds pretty good. Maybe the Razorbacks will have a dynasty someday. Hey, it could happen. Could. Football team goes undefeated for 3 years. It has a dynasty. Death had an unbroken string of victories. You say, well, what about Enoch? Yeah, there's always an exception. Yeah, Enoch. Yeah. What about Elijah? Yeah, there's always another exception. Yeah, there's Elijah. Both of them went to heaven. God intervened. You see, apart from divine intervention, death ruled. That's an important point to remember. Apart from divine intervention, death ruled. Death spread. The reign of death was infectious. It spread from one to another so that everyone who was born with that same sin nature. Everyone who was born under the curse of sin and the curse of the law and the curse of death. It spread. It was ruthless. And apart from divine intervention, death would continue to rule. The reign of death was earned. The reign of death was purchased. The reign of death was deserved. The reign of death. I'm not going to spend any more time on that tonight. It's been depressing enough already. And if even I'm depressed by it, I can only imagine how depressing it is for y'all. It is depressing to think about the reign of death. But you see, that's not all this passage talks about. Romans chapter 5 and verse 15 brings up that incredible word, but. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Now, there are two different ones, one man, that are mentioned in this passage. One man, the one man's offense, speaks of Adam. Adam is what we call the federated head, the federal head of the universe, of humanity, in the sense that he was the first, and he had the ability then to make a choice, and that choice then passed on to all the rest of us, or affected all of the rest of us. That one man's offense. None of us got to choose whether we would inherit the sin nature or not. I think about a lot of things that we got when we were born. I did not get to, nobody consulted me about what color my hair would be, whether it would be straight or curly. If they had, I would have guaranteed you my hair would have been straight and not curly. And all of you who have straight hair would have probably said, I guarantee you my hair would have been curly and not straight. That's just the way it is. It would have been much darker than it is. I would not have chosen this reddish-brown color that I got. I promise you, had I had somebody consulted me, I would not have had this white complexion. I would have had much darker skin like my brother does. And a lot of, maybe like Shiloh over here, I just envy his ability to tan, you know, and be dark-complected. That just, I like that, being out in the sun and other people tan. All I do is burn and peel. You know, y'all feel that a little bit. Yeah. Nobody asked me about how tall I'd be. I didn't get asked about what the nature of my voice was going to be. Nothing. I didn't get that. I didn't get to choose any of that. It was all chosen for me. I certainly didn't get to choose whether I'd inherit the sin nature or not, or whether I would inherit the reign of death. You see, that was chosen for us. Adam made that choice. That choice passed along to all of us. God had made that decree. And that decree was, in the day that you eat thereof, the wages of sin is death, and the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Death then passed upon all men. By that one man's offense, many died. Many died. But Paul makes something very clear for us here. The free gift is not like the offense. Now, I've got something really profound to tell y'all tonight. Things which are different are not the same. That's it. Things that are different are not the same. If things are not like, they're not the same. So the free gift is not like the offense. So the offense came. We didn't have any choice about it. Nobody asked us about it. It was done for us. The choice was made for us. It came about then by the judicial decree of God. It came about by the choice of Adam, which passed down upon all of us. But the free gift is not like that. This passage is as simple as it can be. And he says that twice. Verse 16, he says it again. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. And then verse 17, for if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, that's through Adam, much more, notice, those who receive abundance of grace. Isn't that a great word? Those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. You see, we did not get to choose the sin nature. We did not get to choose the reign of death. We did not receive the sin nature. We did not receive the reign of death. But we must choose to receive the gift of life. It is not like the reign of death. The reign of death comes to us. It comes to us by divine decree. And I understand tonight that one of the big topics in our religious world right now is built around this idea that somehow both the gift of life and the reign of death are really the same in this regard, even though this passage tells us very plainly they're not the same. But they want to make them both the same because they would make the gift of life just as much a matter of God's divine decree as is the reign of death. So that our salvation then would be accomplished by divine decree, in which case it would be exactly the same. And that is that we are born, in a sense, under the reign of death, but then God, by judicial decree, at some point in time before we were born or someplace, I don't know exactly how the theory plays out, but at some point in time, they would, by divine decree then, God would determine that we're going to be under the reign of life. But this passage tells us that's not the way it works. Instead, while we had no choice about the sin nature, we do have a choice about salvation. We must receive the abundance of grace through Jesus Christ. It is yours to receive, but receive it you must. You can reject it. Many do. But if you receive it, there are glorious things that it does for you that are outlined for us in this passage. And I don't have time to preach all of this tonight. I'm just going to kind of scratch around, as I say a lot, just kind of scratch around on the surface for it a little bit, but maybe inspire some more study on your part of it, because a part of it that comes with the free gift, you see, is the awareness of our sinfulness. A part of what the free gift does for us brings that awareness of sin. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, verse 18. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. You see, the law did a very good job, and to this day still does a very good job, of pointing out our sinfulness. It's what it always did. It points out our inability to save ourselves. It points out our inability to fulfill the demands of the law, the righteous requirements of God. Paul would give his own testimony as a Pharisee, and he would describe a time when, concerning the righteousness of law, he said, "I was blameless." And that is, he felt he could look at the righteousness, the requirements of the law, and he would say, I'm okay. There's nothing in there that touches me. Everything that is required of me by the law, I am doing. So with the righteousness that was required, he could say, I'm blameless. But then, he said, the commandment that he found to give him life. That's what he thought. He thought, I'm keeping the law, therefore I'm righteous before God. I'm going to be all right. The commandment that he said, I thought was ordained and was going to give me life then. He said, in fact, it brought death to me. It slew me because the commandment came. And he said, sin revived and I died. For he said, I had not known sin had the laws not said, thou shalt not covet. See, that's the one that got Paul. Tell you the truth, that's the one that gets us all. We might could get by with saying, you know, I hadn't told a lie. I don't steal. I had never killed anybody. I had never taken anything that didn't belong to me. But we can't say we ever thought about it. Or that we never wanted to. We think about all the things that God tells us not to do, we might be able to say, I've never done those things. But the desires come on us unprompted, without even thinking about it. The Bible says, thou shalt not commit adultery. But those desires sometimes come upon us, come out of the clear blue sky. There we are, minding our own business, and all of a sudden, there's some thought that comes across our head. Why? Paul thought he could beat that. He should beat it. But he couldn't. And the harder he tried not to think about those things, the more he thought about them. I had not known sin, he said, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But the law does say that. Law says a lot more, but that was one. That one was enough for the Apostle Paul. And after all, when you get down to it, one is all it takes. Because, you know, the Bible says, whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in what? One point shall be guilty of all. Now, when I was going to school, 90 was a B, right? How many of you, when you went to school, 90 was a B? Raise your hand right quick. Just for fun. 90 was a B when you went to school. Don't be bashful. 90 was a B. Okay? 95 was an A back then. 90 was a B. But let's just be charitable tonight and say 90 was an A. Now, one out of 10, that's 90. I missed one. 90, I'd have got an A. I'd have been happy with an A. Tell you the truth, I'd have been happy with the 80 by today's grading system because 80 was a B. Mom and Dad were big on making the honor roll. Honor rolls was A's and B's. As long as I didn't come home with a C, I was good. Other folks, they might have been happy with a 68. You know what a 68 was in our grading system? 68 was a D minus. That'd be nice if God had our grading system. And we could say, okay, 10 commandments. If I got 90%, man, that'd be an A. If I got 80, that'd be a B. If I got a 69, 68 and a half, that means I'd get into heaven. I'd just barely get there, but I'd still make it. I'd make it the D minus. I might be in the remedial program for a while, but I'm fine with that. It's not the way it works. We could go on up and say it was 99 out of 100. Mm-mm. Still not the way it works. Whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. And so the law entered, verse 20, with the free gift then, that there was the law that entered so that the offense might abound. The law was doing what the law had always done. But when Jesus came and fulfilled the righteous requirements of the law and died then so that he might bring justification to those who believed on him. Justification means that we have been declared not guilty according to law. That happens because Jesus Christ did keep the law. Jesus Christ died not because he had broken God's law, but because we had. He died then in our place so that when we believe on him, then our penalty passes to him, and we then are declared to be justified, not guilty, according to law. Not because of our works, but because of his works. Because of one man's obedience then, one man's righteous act, then the free gift of justification comes then to all of those who believe on him. But along with that comes that awareness of sin, because nobody is ever going to be saved without that. But along with the awareness of sin, where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. There's the abundance of grace. So not only is there the awareness of sin in this free gift of life, but there is the abundance of grace. So that it gives us a justification of life right now, and it gives us the promise of life to come, eternal life through Jesus Christ, the free gift of life and the reign of death. Now, the fact is tonight that everyone in this building is on one side of that equation or the other. You are either under the reign of death, or you have received the free gift of life. If you have received the free gift of life, then you have justification of life. And you have the promise of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You have then the opportunity to live in accordance with the plans and purposes of God, because the Spirit of God lives in you. And God's work then can be done through you. And you can experience that abundance of grace through Jesus Christ. Paul would pray on one occasion that they would not receive the grace of God in vain. And that would be a prayer for all of us. God's abundant grace. Oh, yes, we can sing about it and celebrate it. Let's make sure that in our life we've not received that grace in vain. Someone might read Romans chapter 5 and then come away wondering or asking or saying even, well, if that's all true, if Jesus has provided for my justification of life, and he has, if he's provided us eternal life, and he has, if I no longer have to face the damning effects of the condemnation of the law because of Jesus Christ, and I don't, then hey, that means I can just live however I want to, right? Do whatever I want. Sin as much as I want. Somebody would say that. That's why Paul wrote Romans chapter 6. And if you keep reading, he starts out Romans chapter 6. So what shall we say then? Shall we sin so that grace may abound? God forbid, he said. God forbid. No, that's that. You're missing the point. No. God didn't do all this just so we could keep sinning. He did this so we could keep from sinning. That justification of life through Jesus Christ. I hope tonight that you're under the reign of life and not under the reign of death. But if you'd like to be under the reign of life, maybe if even you're not sure, you say, Brother Rich, I'm just not sure. Don't go out of this service being uncertain, because I'd love to take the Word of God and show you how you can be sure about your salvation through Jesus Christ. Let's stand together, please.